invite you to open your Bibles out up to the book of John. We are in our journey through the New Testament, and for those of you unfamiliar with that, we are reading the Bible the very beginning of the New Testament in Matthew, all the way through the end of it in Revelation, in 1 year. And if you read a chapter of the New Testament Monday through Friday each week of the year, you will have read the whole thing in 1 year. We have finished Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We finished Luke on Thursday. On Friday, we read John 1, the first chapter of the book of John. And so I wanted to start off this new message series, The Resurrection and the Life. I wanted to start this off in the today. We're gonna look at the book of John through Palm Sunday next week and through Easter the following week. And Confirmation Sunday is the week after that, and we'll look at this story that that John gives us. And as we do, we'll start with the very beginning of the book of John. John 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all the people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As Easter approaches, I don't know about you, but maybe you have a family gathering. I know my kids have already been asking my wife and I, what are we doing Easter? And you know, to which I respond with a, duh. They mean, oh, after that. Oh, okay, I get it. But as I was growing up, for Easter, every year we would gather, usually at my parents' house, and my mom's two brothers would come over, and some of their family, and my dad's family. We'd have this big Easter gathering. There was always leg of lamb. I love leg of lamb. Haven't had it since then because have you ever priced it? But we gather together, and you know when you gather together with family, there's always stories that are told, right? Always there's stories that are told, and you know they're always the same story because, you know, Uncle George can't come up with anything new. He's got to tell the same story over and over again. You could tell that story right now and say, George, don't bother. I've already told it. I have an Uncle George, my mom's brother, and Nancy would tell you that every time we've ever been with George, a story comes out of it. I'm not going to tell any of those George stories today. I'll let you wait for it because that's fodder for another sermon some other day. But when we would get together with my family when I was younger, George would always tell stories. Bob would too, but George would always tell stories on my mom, his sister. And there were stories that went like this. You know, when your mom was little, we put her in the dryer. They tormented my mom. They were just brutal to her. But it wasn't always my mom. My Uncle George told a story of my dad one time, how he and dad were in dad's car and they escaped the police by driving down Art Hill steps. In 1953, I guess you could get away with that. Not so much today. Not recommended, by the way. Don't want you to try. Stories are what we tell because they help us understand who we are. They help us relate to one another. They help us to grow in an understanding of our friends, our family, who the family has been in the past, who we're called to be in the future. Stories are important to life and to who we are. And so as we begin this journey through the New Testament, I mean this next part of the journey through the New Testament, we start reading the book of John, which seems like a whole different story. We've just read Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke follow a specific sequence of events. Luke even says, as Luke begins his story of Jesus, Luke begins with, "Dear Theophilus," that was the guy he was writing the message for, he says, "I've sat down to write an orderly account." Luke's going to get it in order. This is what happened, this is when it happened, and this is why it happened. John could care less about an orderly account. You know, I think it's like this. You know when you tell those stories, family stories, and there's children around and you skip a part, and they go, "Whoa, wait, you're telling it wrong." I think John's doing that a little bit. And maybe another framework for it is, it's interesting to me that depending on where you are, you do funerals different. Part of my job, I officiated funerals, and in Kansas City and St. Louis, you do things differently than if you're in the rural communities. So in Macon and Jackson, in part of the funeral was you got up and you read the obituary. The pastor read the obituary. And then someone would get up and they'd talk about their loved one, a family member, a friend. As if to say, "Look, preacher, I know you can read the details, but you're telling the story wrong. Let me tell you about the one I know. Let me tell you about the one I love and the one that loved me in return." And that's what I think John is doing. He's not saying that shame on you, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but John wants to just say, you know, this isn't about the details of what happened in what order. This is about somebody I loved. I want to share stories with you about him. And I want to share the fact that this person loved me as well. Not only that, let me tell you about this person whose beginning was before the beginning. And so he opens up with this beautiful poetry. This beginning story that you know, if you go to Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was formless and void." In the beginning. And John says, wait, let me go back up a little bit before that. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he talks about Jesus as the Word of God. And so that when God says, "Let there be light," and uses those words, "Let there be light," and the world begins to leap into existence, it is leaping into existence because the Word of God, the voice of God, when God says, "Here's what it's supposed to look like, my Word, my Son, Jesus Christ." And John saying, before this all came into being, before that, back up a little bit. You're telling the story wrong. Let's begin where it really begins. Let me tell you what it's really all about. And then John begins to unfold a story that you'll get to read. And I encourage you, if you haven't read the book of John, we started on Friday, the first chapter. You've only missed a chapter, and you can begin Monday through Friday, begin reading the book of John with us. Get on board with this reading through the New Testament. And what he's going to do is this. He's going to tell a story of this relationship that he has with his Savior, Jesus Christ. And each one of us has our own story, don't we? And what I think he's trying to do is he's saying, you know, here's your story of your life, and here's the story of Christ that is the story that began before the beginning. And if you want, you can dovetail into it so that your story and his story are one and the same. Now, you're just a short part of his story, but you have a chance to be a part of the greater story of what God is doing in Jesus Christ. You're invited to enter into that whole storyline of Christ. You know, I'd love to be able to go back and change my story for what I've written so far. Any of you, okay, so if you're 25 or younger, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But any of you ever seen the Back to the Future movies? I realized as soon as I decided to use that, it was like some people are going to go, the what? Marty McFly gets into the DeLorean and he plugs numbers into the flux capacitor and it sends him backwards in time. And he goes backwards in time and does something. And when he comes back to the future, his time, he realizes he messed things up and he's got to go backwards in time again to fix it. Don't you wish you could? Oh my gosh, I wish I could go back and go, okay, Dave, eat better. Exercise more. Don't have those adult diseases like heart disease and diabetes if you treat yourself better. But maybe even more importantly, I can think of stories from my life that won't be told in church and think, oh, to have changed that story. I can think of the ways that I have treated people in my past and think, oh, for the opportunity to take back those words, take back what I did. Oh, for the chance to rewrite my story. Unlike Marty McFly, we don't get to do that. We don't get to go back, but we are invited to move forward into a future that dovetails into the future that God is writing through Jesus Christ. Have you ever heard the term butterfly effect? It's kind of related to this whole Back to the Future thing. It's actually used in two different ways. One, the butterfly effect is that when a butterfly flaps its wings in Brazil, it changes the weather in Europe. And that's just to say that the small impact that we think we have in the world has ripple effect down through time and across expanse. And so the story was actually somebody took the concept and wrote a movie about it. And in the movie, the time machine, same sort of thing, but they go back to dinosaur time. And as they go back there, they're observing the dinosaurs and not looking, not checking what they're doing. Someone steps on a butterfly. And when they go back to their own present day time, everything has changed because of one insect that was killed that shouldn't have been, because in history it didn't happen. When that one thing changed, history changed. Think about that in your own life. Think about your own story and the people that have had an impact on it, and had they not intersected with your life, what would have been different? Better or worse, but it would have been different, wouldn't it? If certain people hadn't entered into your life, and no matter how big or how small, said a word or a phrase or had a relationship with you over a period of time, how different are you? How different is your story? Let me share one story with you. It's the story of Edward Kimball. Ever heard of him? Nobody has. Edward Kimball is this somebody in history that nobody knows. Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher, adult Sunday school class. And as he taught his Sunday school class, there was a shoe salesman in his class that was so taken by his teaching that it changed the way that he saw life. And D.L. Moody, maybe you've heard that name, D.L. Moody becomes the well-known evangelist who evangelizes in America, and then he goes over to England for a period of time, and he has this evangelistic effort. And there in England, he had an impact on the life of a man named Frederick Meyer. And his life was changed. And he began preaching all across England, and then he came back. Meyer came to the New World and preached in New England. And a man by the name of Wilbur Chapman's life was changed. And then because of Chapman's preaching, a man by the name of Billy Sunday had his life changed. Maybe that name's a little more familiar. Billy Sunday became an influential preacher, and he started a different groups of people who would have these evangelistic meetings in their cities. In one of these meetings, these evangelistic meetings, one of these city groups decided to invite a preacher by the name of Mordecai Ham. What a name. I love that one. Decided to invite Mordecai Ham to preach. And he preached one day, and a young man named Billy Graham came to faith. And if you haven't heard of Billy Graham, you're either young or haven't been paying attention to anything over the last 70 years of history. Billy Graham has passed away since, but he was what they called the pastor to the presidents. And through his evangelistic efforts, so many people came to Christ. But those people came to Christ because Edward Kimball aligned himself with what God is doing in the world through Jesus Christ. And he changed the life of somebody who's nobody's heard of. And nobody's heard of Edward. And lives began to change and things changed. What's your faith history like that? Because there's people who have done things, who have made things possible for you to be here today. I don't know the names of every preacher that's preached here, but Michael McIntyre, for one, you've probably heard of him. He was pastor here before me. I have a friend that texted me this morning by the name of Jeff Long. He was an associate pastor here at one time. Some of you will remember a pastor a long time ago, pastor of this church back when it was Ellisville, Richard Combs. And Richard was a member of the church that I last pastored in his retirement. Those are some of the people who have influenced your life. And it's not just pastors that do that. Let's be clear about it. It's not just pastors. It's people who have just decided that, like a Kimball, who's just decided, I'm going to teach a class. I'm going to teach it with my whole heart. Do you know your own faith history? Who came before you? Who made a difference in your life? Who made it possible for you to be here? Mine's kind of an interesting curiosity. I heard this history. I read this history in a book that there was a preacher in Ohio, a German speaking Methodist preacher in Ohio, and he was preaching to a crowd. One evening, an evening service, and there was a group of people who had gotten off work, a group of men who had gotten off work, and it happened that they were Jewish, and they came and sat in the front row, and they heckled the preacher. And that preacher writes in his diary, the one in the middle, he'll preach one day. And sure enough, Ludwig Jacoby comes to faith. And then he becomes a pastor. Again, you don't have to be a pastor to do this stuff. I just know those pastor stories. And so he becomes a pastor, and Jacoby then is sent by his bishop to St. Louis to start a German-speaking congregation in St. Louis. And when he starts this in the 1800s, he starts this congregation, and their first church service was in an abandoned Presbyterian church. It was supposed to be that way. Just waiting for you to... Those of you that know Calvinists, anyway, it's just a jab at a few of Calvinists. An abandoned Presbyterian church, which sat at what is today like center field of the America Center football field. And that church moved to several different locations in its life, but today that church sits at the corner of Highway 40 and Lindbergh, Salem Methodist Church. Well, somewhere along the line, a district superintendent went to the people at Salem Methodist Church. That district superintendent's name is Greg Poole, Dr. Greg Poole. And Greg went to Salem and he said, I need some of you to come with us and start a new church in this new building community, new housing community they're building called Green Trails United Methodist. That's the church I grew up in. And so some people from that church went and started Green Trails. And you know, at one point, the people at Green Trails were asked by their district superintendent, would you get involved in a program? We're trying to start a new church in St. Charles County, in St. Peter's to be exact, and we're making phone calls, and people from Green Trails Church helped make phone calls to call the people in that area saying, we're starting a new church. It's going to be called Church of the Shepherd. And Nancy and I started attending that church. And I was called to ministry out of that church. My pastor at the time was a guy by the name of Brent Musto. You might know him as Adam Musto, who once served this church, Adam's father. And the first church I get appointed to as a pastor, associate pastor at that Salem church that Ludwig Jacoby started. That's part of my faith history. And I could add in so much more of that, but the point is that there's a pre-story that as people decided that they would allow their story to enter into where God is taking this. And they get to co-write that history in their own life. Allow themselves to be used by God to enter into that story. And I think that's what John is doing in his story, is he's inviting us. He's inviting us to the story of one he loved and one who loved him and one who loves you as well. So what does that look like for a church today? What does that look like for us today? So here's a really small thing. But I think it'll make a big impact. And I know it seems frivolous to think of it in that way. So yesterday, there were about 20 of us who were clearing part of the area down at the corner here at New Manchester, 100 and Pond Road, because we're getting a sign. After 11 years, we're getting a sign. And so a group of us were clearing it. I was there, but Kelly, I was talking to Kelly a little bit ago, and Kelly's like, I didn't see you there. Well, I was carrying stuff up the hill. You were putting it through the meat grinder. What do they call that thing? The wood chipper. Yeah. Thankfully, it wasn't a meat grinder yesterday. But that's a small thing. Bill Berry hears it. He just like went up and down that hill all day long, and I had to sit down half the time. It's a small thing, but listen, by the end of April, when this sign is up, and we're not putting up some small sign, we're talking 24 foot wide, 12 foot high. By the time this sign is put up at the end of April, somebody's going to see that sign driving by that intersection and think, on Sunday, I got to go there. I mean, this church has always been here, well, for 10 years, 11 years, but now there's going to be that invitation of that sign. And because some people cleared it and some people worked on getting it through Wildwood City Council, and because people have been working on it, somebody's going to show up and they're going to sit next to you some Sunday in May. And you have an opportunity to enter into the story of what Christ is doing in your life and their life. And I think that's what John is calling us to as he writes a story that is so completely different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Now, if you're sitting there wondering, I don't know how I'm supposed to get engaged in the church. I don't know what my calling is. I don't know. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to jump in. How do I get started? There's going to be a conference next Saturday here from 9 to 2. I'll be here. I invite you to join me. At that conference, we're going to, it's actually a simulcast from another place, but we're hosting for this area. It's called the Called Conference. In this, we're gonna talk about how we're all called to ministry and what specifically, what are the steps that we can take to begin to do things to make an impact on people's lives. And if you're sitting there wondering, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be doing, but I feel like I should be doing something, that's called a calling. I've got a calling on my life to be a pastor. You've got a calling on your life, may or may not be to be a pastor, but you have a calling. So if you're wondering what that's all about, if you want to try to figure that out together, join me. I'm going to sit at a table with whoever comes from our church, and we'll work through it together. Put on that tear-off slip on your bulletin. Just write "called" on that. Make sure we have your email, and we'll get you signed up for next week. We'll pay the fee, and lunch is included, and we'll contact you to tell you where to be when and all that good stuff. But do that, right? Note "called" on there, because I want to work with you to find out where are you called. And then finally, one other way that you can be involved in what's going on, maybe two. I'll hit two others. One other is that I'm not wearing a Cardinals shirt only because I'm a big Cardinals fan, but because we have a special fundraiser going on today. And that fundraiser is called the Ballpark Fundraiser. And so in the fellowship hall, we have ballpark food. And so you can have a hot dog before you leave, a hamburger. I think there's some other things there, nachos, popcorn, snow cones, the whole, you know, everything you might get at the ballpark. And for a different price, you know, affordable, you know, your family can eat and not. Anyway, but that fundraiser is so that members of our high school youth group can go on a choir tour. Mark Turner takes them on this choir tour every year, and members of the youth group can go on that choir tour, and their lives will be different because they went. And they went because you made it possible. You stepped up and said, you know what, I'm gonna financially participate in eating a hot dog. There's also a silent auction out there, and I understand. So there's a one of those items that I understand your previous pastor wanted really bad, so I drove up the price. There's some items in there that I'd like to have. I hope you'll drive up the price for me as well. Careful. You don't know where my break point is. But I hope you'll participate in that. The last thing I want to share before the ushers come to collect the offering is that in your bulletin you have this insert that's a postcard or just cards. I don't think there's no place to put a stamp. I hope that you'll take this and give it to a friend. Take it and write down the information on your calendar so that you know that on Maundy Thursday we have a service, on Good Friday we have a service, and on Easter Sunday we have services. But give this to a friend. Allow God to use you, that as God writes this story of who Jesus Christ is in the world, allow God to use you to enter into the story with someone else. You have a friend, a neighbor, a coworker. You have somebody that needs to be invited so that their story might dovetail with Christ's story as well. So I hope that you'll make this invitation by giving this card away.